It's 1 o'clock, and you're listening to Observer Radio News. I'm your host, Joseph Jacobson. With me in studio are Ryan Jagrew, Billy Curtis, and Bradley Featherstone. Don't let the sun fool you, it's currently minus 4 outside our East York studios, but it feels more like minus 13. Now here are today's headlines. Another city councillor has joined Toronto's mayoralty race. The Raptors are looking to stay in the playoff picture with a win against Denver tonight at the ACC. And Samsung has released Canada's first ever 3D TV. Now to our top story. Another city councillor has joined Toronto's mayoralty race. Yesterday morning, Rob Ford announced his candidacy on the John Oakley radio show on AM 640. According to the Torstar News Service, Ford is running for mayor because he says the city is dirty and full of graffiti and broken windows. The right-wing councillor urged other like-minded thinkers to run for council in an attempt to remove all traces of outgoing Mayor David Miller from City Hall. Ford joins a race full of high-profile candidates, including former Deputy Premier George Smitherman and Deputy Mayor Joe Pantalone. And many subsidized daycares across the province are facing an uphill battle to stay open. Some parents are starting to wonder, what will they do for their children? With the story, here's Tristan Carter.
Is brewing for Ontario's subsidized daycares. Full-day kindergarten and cuts to subsidies are threatening to force daycares to close their doors and are causing parents to worry about the future. Heather Butcher, a mother of two children on subsidy, states how she is feeling about this.
Terrified. Without subsidy, I got no child care. I can't afford it.
Federal subsidy money will expire on April 1st of this year, and the province does not seem set to pick up the bill. Helen Kiprios has been the director of Roywood Child Care for over 20 years, but she is not sure how much longer her daycare will last.
I have a capacity of 49 kids, and out of my 49 children, the 30 is on subsidy. So that is going to be a disaster for my center. Or it's going to be a disaster for parents trying to find the money. But how can they find the money if they couldn't survive before?
Even with the full-day kindergarten, Butcher said she will still have to pay for childcare.
What the board is trying to do is have daycare within the same classroom. So we have to pay $30 a day for my children to be taken care of before school, during lunch, and after school. And I can't afford that. That's why I depend on subsidy.
Although many parents oppose the changes to childcare in this province, Kipio says she will wait to see the effects before she passes judgment.
Definitely we needed a change. Now, going to this change might be good. Time will tell.
It's Tristan Carter, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
Well, the Ontario budget dropped yesterday, and it looks like there will be cuts in transportation and healthcare. According to the Canadian press, the Ontario government will postpone construction of several GTA transit projects. However, the government will go ahead with transit projects that will be important to the 2015 Pan Am Games. Hospitals will receive a 1.5% funding increase in this year's budget, which is less than what they were hoping for. Critics say the budget will lead to a decrease in hospital services. And that's all for local news. Ryan Jagrew is at the international desk. Ryan, what's making headlines?
Well, Joseph, President Barack Obama and Russian President Dmitry Medvedev have smoothed over details for an arms treaty that will see both sides reduce their nuclear weapons by 30%. The two leaders came to an agreement over the phones this morning. The deal is a sign that both Washington and Moscow are looking to set an example for the rest of the international community. Under the deal, the United States and Russia will have 7 years to reduce their stockpile. The two nations hold about 90% of all nuclear weapons in the world. The agreement is expected to be ratified by the two nations. Obama and Medvedev plan to sign off on it April 8th in Prague, Czech Republic. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he will not change his policy of building homes in East Jerusalem, which continues to dog negotiations for a Middle Eastern peace treaty. Palestinians seek control of East Jerusalem as part of ongoing talks between the United States and Israel. The Obama administration has been telling Israel to stop construction to more than 1,600 housing units, so peace talks between Palestinians and Israel can resume. Talks have been at a standstill since December 2008. Palestinians say that Israel must halt any new settlements before peace talks, before the two sides can come to an agreement. Wednesday, the issue continued to be a roadblock as Netanyahu and Obama discussed solutions for a Middle Eastern states. And here's a bit of local and global. With efforts growing all over the Toronto city to lend a hand to victims of Haiti's recent quake, events have been popping all up, including Comedy Week for Haiti. And as Renisa McLeod reports, sometimes laughter really is the best medicine.
Comedy Week for Haiti ended with gummy keys and popcorn during Laugh Sabbath, a weekly sketch comedy show at the Rivoli. There were some technical difficulties involving a faulty DVD player, but despite that, the comedians managed to put on an award show. They had categories including Best Actress in This Film and Most Popular Type of Video. Comedy duo Adam and Dave tell the crowd how they got an idea for a video of their own. Actor and comedian Chris Locke is one of the founding fathers of Laugh Sabbath. He says he was glad to send the show's proceeds to Haiti.
Money goes to the Red Cross, and everything that all the comedians and the comedy shows, all the money that they raise. And a few days ago, we were past 10 grand. So there's been a bunch of shows since, so I'm really excited that it's way past that by now. But it gets matched by the government, too.
Locke says his group was just one of many that performed during Comedy Week. Laugh Sabbath, though, were lucky to be able to do two shows for Haiti as Comedy Week started last Sunday. Renice McLeod, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
After the break, Billy with sports.
Good evening. You are probably expecting me to say that my name is Count Dracula and that I am a vampire. Do you know what makes a vampire? Do you really? It's not the hair, bah, greasy kid stuff. It's not the cape made from your sister's satin bedsheets. No, it's the fangs that make you the vampire. Now you too can have the fangs. Dress up for parties, frighten the trick-or-treaters on Halloween. These plastic marvels fit over your regular teeth, but once there, you'll be the hit of the party. Amaze and delight your girlfriend. It is so much fun, I know. So, send for your free fangs today. Send 298 for to Fang, Box 1001, Central City, Tennessee, or dial toll-free 800-DRACULA. Order before midnight tonight. That's an order.
Welcome back, and hello sports fans. The Toronto Raptors will take on the Denver Nuggets tonight at the Air Canada Centre, where it hasn't been home sweet home lately for the Raptors. The Raps have suffered back-to-back blowout losses at home, 115-89 last Friday against Oklahoma City, and 113-87 facing Utah on Wednesday. The Raptors have dropped 6 of their last 9 games in Toronto. They are currently hanging on by a thread to the 8th and final spot in the East, but are only 1.5 points out of 6th place. They are hoping to shake off their problems at home against the floundering Nuggets, who are 5-4 since losing head coach George Karl. Karl is currently in treatment for throat and neck cancer. Forward Kenyon Martin will also miss his 12th straight game with a knee injury. Denver has won their last 5 games against Toronto. Well, despite a trying year and a disappointing Vancouver Games for Canadian figure skater Patrick Chan, he has found his silver lining in the clouds. Chan took home a silver medal at the World Figure Skating Championships yesterday in Turin. Chan shook off a shaky early performance to finish just 10 points outside of Daisuke Takahashi of Japan, who followed up his bronze medal at the Olympic Games with a gold medal in Turin. Takahashi was the leader going into yesterday's free skate and capped his world title run with a solid final performance. Chan had a difficult season, beginning with a torn calf muscle that put him out of action early on. He finished 5th at the Olympics after his coach Don Laws announced unexpectedly that he was quitting just a month before. British Columbia's Kevin Reynolds finished 11th. Tessa Virtue and Scott Moir made Canadian sports history during last month's Olympics, capturing Canada's first ever gold medal in ice dancing. But as Observer Radio's Joseph Jacobson reports, another young Canadian couple finished the competition with little fanfare.
They're training here in Scarborough. They haven't gone to, you know, some internationally renowned training center. They're skating at the Ice Galaxy that's been here since 1967. You don't need anything special. You need some skates, you need some ice. You know what? Go and skate.
Crone and Poirier's Olympic exploits have given the club more recognition as an elite training facility. Joanne DeVoe, who sits on the club's board of directors, is surprised by the newfound popularity of ice dancing in Scarborough.
Before they left, we had a send-off here, an Olympic send-off for Paul and Vanessa, and I was shocked at how many people in the Scarborough club and their friends and family that came out to support Paul and Vanessa.
Crone and Poirier will be competing in the Ice Dancing World Championships in Torino, Italy, later this month. The pair will be riding their Olympic momentum into the competition, and their goal is to finish in the top 10. Joseph Jacobson, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
Still on the ice, Canada's Jennifer Jones has seen the World Championship playoffs before, and she will see it again. Jones and her team out of Winnipeg's St. Vital Curling Club will take on Andrea Schupp of Germany tonight in the Page playoff game. Canada's stay in Swift Current, Saskatchewan has gone almost perfectly, going 10-1 in the preliminary round and capping off their run last night with an 8-5 win over Scotland. Canada's only loss, however, came to Germany in an extra end, 8-7. Germany has gone 8-3 in the tournament. The winner of tonight's game goes on to Sunday's final, while the loser will play in Saturday's semifinal matchup. Jones and company have won 3 straight Canadian titles and a world title 2 years ago in Vernon, British Columbia. Canada will play with the hammer in tonight's game. And that's all for sports. Here is Brad with all from the world of entertainment.
Thanks, Billy, and hello, everyone. Can't get enough of 3D movies? Well, now you can bring the experience to your own living room. Samsung introduced the first 3D TVs in Canada today, but they come with a hefty price tag, with prices starting at just under $2,000. The battery-powered 3D glasses you need to watch the high-tech TVs will also cost you an additional $250. 3D TV channels have already made their way into the mainstream in the U.S., but it's estimated there will be another 6 months before 3D channels are seen in Canada. Sony and Panasonic are expected to release their own 3D TVs by June. It takes more than talent to be a successful musician, and that's something a Toronto man knows all too well. He's one of the city's only instructors who teaches stage presence to performers. Andy's Andy Gelfand has the story.
Dave Clabé demonstrates how his students should act if they want to give a show. At his downtown Toronto music school, he offers performance courses for people who already know how to play a little music, but want to do it with a full band behind them. Clabé says he opened the school at Studio 211 to help other people who loved music like him, but get paralyzed by stage fright.
But it's a really worthwhile thing for me to do, to provide that opportunity for people. Like I said, it's grueling, but it's really a lot of fun. You know, I mean, you can learn to be a decent guitar player, but performing the music is different. It's a whole different, you know, dynamic to it.
Clabé's classes are usually comprised of 8 to 10 pupils. They all play different instruments. They meet once a week for practice, though he recommends they also take individual lessons at the same time. The real benefit for the School of Rock students is, when they're done with the course, they get to test their chops in front of a live audience at a downtown venue. Clabé says it's the best way to boost students' confidence.
But at the end of the day, it's just a really enjoyable experience for them to have that opportunity. And that's one of the things I've thought about over the years is like, you know, I mean, I've taught a lot of people over the years. And it's like, you know, these people really don't have an outlet. You know, they need some sort of a vehicle to get them onto a stage. They need an opportunity, right?
And so Clabé realizes that each student has their own reason for coming to his course. And he's happy as long as they get something out of it, even if the only stage they ever play again is their own living room. This is Andrew Galpin for Observer Radio News, Toronto.
If those students really want to learn about stage presence, they should check out Neil Young Trunk Show, which opens in theaters tonight. The Canadian rock legend teamed up with Oscar-winning director Jonathan Demme for his latest concert film. The film follows Young over two nights in Philadelphia during his 2007 tour. The centerpiece of the film is a 20-minute version of No Hidden Path, featuring face-melting guitar solos. Other Neil Young gems you can look forward to seeing are Cowgirl in the Sand, Cinnamon Girl, and Like a Hurricane. That's all for entertainment. Now back to Ryan for the wrap-up.
Thanks, Brad. That's the news for now. You can hear more news coming up in about 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of all of us here at Observer Radio News, thanks for listening and have a great afternoon.